This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, Sports Director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Donald Trump's victory was in large part due to voters in rural areas like here in Wisconsin. Mike Moen reports.
While other contributing factors are discussed, a rural expert says it's clear long-standing political sentiments in smaller towns haven't changed. As the results from Tuesday night are examined, political analysts cite Trump's gain with Latino voters. Colby College's Nick Jacobs, who has written about rural issues, says the campaign also regained some ground in rural America that it had lost in 2020. Jacobs says if the media or political strategists try to again understand why these areas still largely back Trump, they have to resist preconceived notions.
We're going to see it again with these diner interviews, is that prior to even being interviewed, rural people were put into this prefabricated box. And the truth is that voters in rural places and urban places, they're complicated.
But Jacob says Democrats should keep trying to produce local candidates who can relate to these voters, adding that having both parties find success in rural America is good for democracy. Jacob says his research, along with separate polling, has shown that rural and urban voters often agree on certain issues.
Concerns about corporate monopolies, freedom within sort of the marketplace, whether that's for healthcare or reproductive rights. There are very few major policy issues that divide the two.
The Biden administration's big policy achievements, the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, have paved the way for a lot of rural investment. But Jacob says many projects aren't shovel-ready yet, and aren't likely to move the needle with rural voters hesitant to embrace them. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
The Badgers have another night game. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clements for Civic Media Sports. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Coach Luke Fickell says the bye week helped them in preparing for the big game.
We know that, but that's where we've got to make sure that we got to go back to what it is that we do and continue to climb this mountain to get better.
Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year, along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clements daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Brittany Merlot, it's time for a little weather and wine.
If you're a weather nerd like me, I know Jane, you are.
I like the
Do you
weather.
Know what Coco Ross is?
What?
Coco Ross. COCORAHS. Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. You can actually help us meteorologists. All you do is put a rain gauge outside, and this is how I tell you guys how much rain Wisconsin got.
That sounds so Coco Ross.
It's a Coco Ross kind of moment.
Yeah. Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening to this fine production. You can be a part. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. You can do it all here. A big show for you today. Dan Schaefer joining us at 4:30. He's Civic Media's political editor. He's got some reflections on these past week. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about lots of political things here in the state of Wisconsin. But of course, right now it's Tuesday. That means it's overtime with Maggie Dawn. You just heard her show airing here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Little overtime for Maggie on Tuesdays. Hey, Maggie, welcome back.
I always like working harder when it's with you, Don.
Yeah, see, it's almost like
It's not even work.
This is what I'm saying. All right, so no overtime needed here. Trump would be very proud.
Yes.
Maggie, the abortion law here in the state of Wisconsin, they're trying to review it, to understand that it's been brought up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Does this 1849-59, what year was the law? It was a long time ago. It was before 49, before women had the right to vote.
New rule: if a law is over 100 years old or was enacted before either women had the right to vote or the end of enslavement of people, maybe we should revisit.
It should be up for review.
Maybe that's a regulation that I don't actually like. Hey, regulations that are bad.
Well, you know, there's something. An audit, go back, look at all the old laws, just make sure they're applicable to today. And
correct.
If they were, you know, derived and conceived under those circumstances when women couldn't vote, black people couldn't vote, so
perhaps
on and so forth.
Perhaps we should revisit.
I mean, give it a once over. Let's just see if it's still appropriate today.
Yes.
Like the abortion law. Justice Dalit and Justice Karosky lit it up. and Maggie, I know we'll talk about the election because we haven't been on the air together since the election, right?
No, we have not.
No.
We have listened from afar. We have also joined together to cry in a few cocktails.
Yes, there were shots.
Yes.
So we'll get into that as well. But Justice Dalit and Justice Karosky really lit it up today, and when we talk about doing the overtime together or me coming in with you, it's like, oh, how are we gonna do it? How are we gonna keep it fun and entertaining? It's like, oh, there's some audio. Let's bring audio.
I love
to
a little
itself.
Audio.
You know, you got me with that right wing pastor,
Joel Webbin. We should put like something up where the gotchas,
yes.
When Dom gotchas me, right. We got a hash mark, and then when I gotcha you, hash mark.
Joel Webbin is one of them. He was the one that wanted to, repeal the 19th Amendment.
Get rid
Amendment.
Of women voting, because that leads, you don't want to know why families are disintegrating, Dominic?
Because
women are voting.
Chicks be voting. They can't
those
have
nasty
that.
Women.
No, and they're loud, right? Loud.
Very loud. Wearing loud clothes.
Loud clothes, yeah.
Asking to be heard and attention be paid to things that they care about.
Too many questions.
What?
too many questions. Yeah, so shocked. I guess you're not certainly not shocked that that attitude is there. Shocked that I had to listen to it from a guy who's apparently pretty influential in the right wing, you know,
he's a shot
white
caller.
National Christian movement. Yes. I don't have that card. So the sound. Let's get to the sound. And I'm so happy you hadn't heard this sound yet. Steph sent me a TikTok of a lady reviewing the sound. So that's how I got my news from TikTok today.
Like so many Americans, I'm so go the days of our lives on TikTok.
One of the cool kids now.
I don't know about that.
Did the hard work to cut it up. Here is Dalla talking about the law, as we mentioned, being created only when the white men had the rights. Let's hear cut number one, please, Jess.
So in 1849, we're talking about a time when the only people that had rights were white men, correct? With property. White men who owned property, sorry. Is that right?
I'll take your word for it, Justice.
Okay, Dalla. Well, you can take my word for it.
You don't know that?
Anyone else got rights?
If you say that, Missy, you know, keep your panties down and up and keep it together. If you insist, I guess that's when it happened. This is a guy arguing before the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, acting like he doesn't know that.
So one of the things that you learn as an attorney when you get into appellate advocacy is if it is a fact, even if it is a bad fact, even if you know that the judge questioning you is about to bash you over the head with your bad fact, do not lose face by trying to argue about the bad fact. You concede it and shut up.
I mean, so the answer to that question, Maggie, if you say so,
I'm concerned for your physical safety at this moment.
I mean,
I'm coming for you.
So dismissive and disrespectful. I mean, Justice Karofsky, if you say so, sweetheart.
I think that was Dalla, but
I'm sorry, Dalla. Thank you, Justice Dalla. If you say so, honey, it's okay. I'll take your word for it.
Concede the point. And it's interesting because my blithe punchline from 2 minutes ago is actually what his retort is. We don't distinguish among in our system of law justice, yes, but we don't distinguish amongst our system of laws depending on who was voting at the time the laws were enacted. We enforce them equally.
Right.
I'm here to argue that this law means that and that it should be enforced in this way. There was an answer to that. What the hell's wrong with that guy?
Saving face or just being disrespectful to a woman because, of course, he wants this 1849 law to be intact. Justice Karofsky talking about signing the death warrants of women. Ooh, this one's tough. Let's play cut number two, please, Jess.
Mr. Tomey, and I fear that what you are asking this court to do is to sign the death warrants of women and children and pregnant people in this state because under your interpretation, they could all be denied life-saving medical care while the medical professionals who are charged with taking care of them are forced to sit idly by. This is the world gone mad. I don't understand how that is not the crime here.
Well said, Justice Karofsky. I was having a really deep conversation with my dad yesterday. I had a day off. I was like, let me log some QT with the PUs. And by that, I mean quality time with the parental units. That's some lingo back from the 90s for me. And my dad and I were talking about abortion. And as I've discussed on the show before, his opinions about that have evolved over the course of his lifetime. He now speaks about coming to that question in the law from a place of like deep humility and not understanding and not being able to speak for women in these circumstances, right? And not wanting the long arm of the law to actually reach into uteruses, okay? And I also talked with him about these facts. I said, listen, I respect someone's good faith, genuinely held, religiously based viewpoint that abortion should be not a good thing to choose, right? But if that is about promoting life on any level, what we actually can see now in the post-Dobbs environment are infant mortality, maternal mortality, as well as number of abortions. Right. You would think we make it illegal in some states and they put in place these really draconian laws.
Right. We'll see
fewer abortions. You would expect infant mortality to go down, maternal mortality, because it's supposed to promote greater wellness in life. Well, what we actually see is that infant mortality is up, maternal mortality is up, and there are more abortions occurring in the states with these draconian bans now than there was before Roe, or before Dobbs overturned Roe. So by any meaningful metric of, is your policy achieving the goal that you want it to achieve, it is a failure.
Well, I'm not clear that that's actually the goal they want to achieve. I think the goal is control over women's bodies.
Well,
that's
if that goal, is your objective, yes, you are succeeding.
Yes. Real quick, we have one more cut from Justice Karofsky. I got to ask you, you give a pass because of the religious belief. I don't.
No. I'm saying on an individual basis, sure. If you say abortion isn't for me and I'm going to teach my child that abortion is wrong because my religion tells me so, I say bully for you. As soon as you say my religious belief gives me the right to put my religion in your uterus, I say no, thank you. We live in a secular democracy. No good.
Thank you for your clarification on that, Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, overtime with Maggie Dawn. Justice Karofsky, attorney, I guess this is a guy, Tom. He had an interpretation, and Karofsky was clarifying. This one's a minute 40 seconds, a little bit long, but it is worth the time. Play it, please, Jess.
Under your interpretation of 940.04, there would not be an exception for sexual assault or rape, correct?
I believe that is correct, unless it was necessary to save the life of the mother.
There would not be an exception for incest, correct?
I believe that is correct.
There would not be an exception for the health of the mother, correct?
I believe that's correct.
There would not be an exception for a fetal abnormality, correct?
So it would probably depend to the extent of the fetal abnormality.
Just to be clear, a 12-year-old girl who was sexually assaulted by her father and as a result became pregnant, under your interpretation of 940.04, she would be forced to carry her pregnancy to term, correct?
That would be correct.
Okay, so in that case, a child would be forced to deliver a baby. How about a woman who is a college freshman here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison? She is sexually assaulted and is charged as a third-degree sexual assault. If she became pregnant as a result of the sexual assault, it would be illegal for her to obtain an abortion, correct?
It would be illegal for a doctor to provide an abortion to her in the state of Wisconsin, correct.
And were she to obtain an abortion after quickening, whatever that means, the penalty under 940.04 would be 15 years. It's a Class E felony, correct?
I believe that's how it's defined, yes. Okay. But it would not be. She would not be subject to that penalty.
I understand. Right. If her assaulter is charged under 940.225 sub 3 sub A, which is a third-degree sexual assault, he would be facing a 10-year maximum imprisonment because that would be a Class G felony. In that case, the penalty for aborting after a sexual assault would be more severe than the penalty for the sexual assault.
The penalty for aborting would be more severe than the penalty for the actual sexual assault. 10 years for the assault, 15 years for the doctor who performed the abortion. Maggie Dawn.
And I'm going to say this, a lifetime for the woman, a lifetime for her child. Now, that's not to say that there aren't children that were conceived in rape and women that bore them with love and wanting that child in the world, but they got to make that choice. A woman forced to bear that child and the child living based on being forced. I've got to just point out, those are lifetime sentences.
Maggie Dawn, you can check her out here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Fridays. She's overtime with me right now. We can take your calls as well, 855-752-4842. Coming back with some evaluation of the results of the last election.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Earl Ingram.
Don's from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Covering the games and biggest sports news. Listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
To the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, overtime with Maggie Dawn. Maggie, thanks for sticking around for one more segment. We have not been able to discuss our thoughts, our reflections. What the hell happened on Tuesday, Maggie, on air together? So, if I may, my dear friend.
Yes.
What happened?
So, a couple of things. My highest level takeaway, I think, has effectively three elements to it. The first one is people correctly experienced and thus felt like they're getting screwed in the system, right? That the system, I'm being told that the economy is great. Why am I struggling? And that experience of struggle or it not going quite as far or worrying if they can pay for their kids' college education or am I ever going to be able to retire? And if you're listening and you're a middle class person, you're like, I'm great. Got plenty. Don't you wish you had a little bit more? Don't you think maybe the middle class and the working class shouldn't have to live an existential angst day over day while wealth inequality gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the effective tax rate of billionaires and 100 millionaires and zillionaires like Elon Musk, Tim Michels, Ron Johnson, Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, Peter Thiel, and of course, Eric Hovde, when they pay less and less. So the existential angst that comes from economic uncertainty that is prolonged.
That's real.
Was real.
Yeah.
And people accurately knew that what they were feeling was like, wait a minute, this is not working. And that led to a situation where people that talked the same, came from the same, behaved the same as the same stuff they've been hearing for a long time were no longer acceptable. You have Donald Trump that, say whatever else you want to say about him, talks in a way that no other politician does. Okay? And so when you have that, you're hearing same, same, wah, wah. It's like the Peanuts cartoon.
Yeah, the teacher wah, of Peanuts.
Wah,
yeah.
Wah, 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 right? And then you hear this guy that's like, yeah, you're getting screwed. You feel that? That's right. You are. And then he weaponized the political weaponization of real existential true angst and saying, blame these people over here. Blame Democrats, blame wokeism, blame immigrants, blame black and brown people, blame women, blame. And here I will nicely put them in a little group for you and put a box around it. And this is the problem. What a perfect recipe when the other side is doing this.
But so I struggle with this because while I hear what you're saying, I totally agree that when you feel that angst, you're worried about paying the bills. I mean, that is absolutely real. The working class folks haven't got a raise, you know, adjusted for inflation in 50 years. I mean, this has been a continual issue, be it Republicans or Democrats. So I'm not clear. What I don't understand is if you get that, you think you're getting screwed by the system, which is, you know, essentially made up and influenced by the very wealthy. Your answer to that is to hire a very wealthy guy who's going to continue to lower taxes on the rich and continue the income disparity.
Stop thinking that politics is rational. It's not. Right? Like, first principle, politics is not rational. It's all feeling.
So then there's nothing that could break through? I mean, this is what I'm saying. If you have a circumstance where like some of these folks think, well, you know, Donald Trump is sent by God. If you're one of those religious folks, which I'm not, there is no convincing someone.
Of course not.
Right. If you think, you know, of course abortion not. But or I killing don't think babies, the, I don't think no convincing.
I don't think the majority of people that voted for Donald Trump literally think he's been sent from God. I don't think that that's the majority of his voters. And even if they do, the reason that they feel that way is because he is speaking to what they are truly emotionally experiencing. Now, again, the place that it was directed, the racism, the misogyny, right? The hatred, the homophobia, the xenophobia, all of it.
There's the answer.
Right? That's the here's who to blame, yep. And I'm the only one that's holding these bad people accountable, right? So, like, this is the own the libs thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no lib to own if the message is, hey, yeah, you are getting screwed, and you should be doing better, and your kids should be doing better, and we all should be doing... What? Okay. So you know, I think there's a lot of whataboutism about this whole thing. But, like, the fundamental truths were a guy that sounds different.
Yep. Breaking through. Yep.
And more of the same, wah, 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 coupled with condescension and some labels from the left, which made the wah, more problematic, right? Secondly, true, legitimate economic and otherwise safety, and that was partially invented. That's not true. Existential angst. And then thirdly, what was the three? The racism and all the stuff.
Maggie Dawn, for just a couple more minutes, we'll throw Cindy in from Appleton. Disagrees with Maggie. Uh-oh. Go ahead, Cindy. What do you got?
Love it.
Yeah, Maggie, I don't think people care that the rich are getting richer and the rest of us are getting screwed. They don't care. I mean, they continuously vote for Ron Johnson. Eric Hovde, just barely by a string, lost. People voted for the criminal, the felon, even though he doesn't have money, but they think he does. They do not care. I think they all think that if they put the rich in power, they're going to all get rich too. And I just can't understand that concept.
Yes, we actually agree, Cindy. We actually agree. But what I'm going to say is you're pointing out that people voted against their self-interest. Yes. Stop thinking politics is rational, that people have a clear line, a rational line from self-interest to whom they're going to cast the ballot for. If you reorganize the way that we think about politics entirely around feeling and understand that some of the feelings in this country are deeply sexist, racist, and homophobic, but that people don't want to be racist, sexist, and homophobic, but they will not allow themselves to not have their feelings addressed by a political candidate who sounds like every single other political candidate they ever heard.
Thank you for the call, Cindy. Thank you for sticking around overtime with Maggie Dawn. Once again, you can listen to her every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie, always a pleasure, my friend.
Love you, Dom. Have a great show.
Love you, girl. Take care. All right, folks, coming back, we have Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor, plus your calls, 855-752-4842. Stick around.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Donald Trump's victory was in large part due to voters in rural areas like here in Wisconsin. Mike Moen reports.
While other contributing factors are discussed, a rural expert says it's clear longstanding political sentiments in smaller towns haven't changed. As the results from Tuesday night are examined, political analysts cite Trump's gain with Latino voters. Colby College's Nick Jacobs, who has written about rural issues, says the campaign also regained some ground in rural America that it had lost in 2020. Jacobs says if the media or political strategists try to again understand why these areas still largely back Trump, they have to resist preconceived notions.
We're going to see it again with these diner interviews, is that prior to even being interviewed, rural people were put into this prefabricated box. And the truth is that voters in rural places and urban places, they're complicated.
But Jacob says Democrats should keep trying to produce local candidates who can relate to these voters, adding that having both parties find success in rural America is good for democracy. Jacob says his research, along with separate polling, has shown that rural and urban voters often agree on certain issues.
Concerns about corporate monopolies, freedom within sort of the marketplace, whether that's for health care or reproductive rights. There are very few major policy issues that divide the two.
The Biden administration's big policy achievements, the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, have paved the way for a lot of rural investment. But Jacob says many projects aren't shovel-ready yet, and aren't likely to move the needle with rural voters hesitant to embrace them. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Sending some love out to Maggie D, a little overtime with Maggie Dawn. Thank you for sticking around, Maggie, on Tuesdays. Always fun, because, again, you can hear her show 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Find it on the app. Go to your app store, download the Civic Media app. You can take us with you, put us in your pocket anywhere you go. Jazzed as hell right now. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor, joining me. Hey, Dan, welcome back.
Hey, Dom, how are you?
I'm fired up, man. I got to tell you, for any of our streamers who may not, you know, who have access to some of the conversation between the breaks, I got to tell you, I am fired up, but I'm not taking it anymore, Dan. But let's get to some of the headlines. Breaking news to me. I wanted to talk, brought you on to talk about a couple of the articles you wrote. One of them, Eric Hovde lost the election. It is time for him to concede. Dan Schaefer, I agree. But what happened?
Yeah, so just about an hour ago, before we were getting ready for the show here, Eric Hovde put out a clip on Twitter, or X, explaining what exactly has been going on his camp over the past week. He has been completely radio silent since Wednesday morning of last week. Has not conceded defeat in the race against Tammy Baldwin. He lost by about 29,000 vote margin. Has not made any noise in the past week about asking for a recount or anything like that. Made his first public comments today. And in those comments, my goodness, is he making a whole lot of wild allegations about the city of Milwaukee, about the, you know, late night ballot dump that we, you know, spent so much time talking about in the weeks before the election to try to address those ridiculous conspiracy theories. And I think, you know, chaos thrives in a vacuum, and 6 days of silence has created a vacuum. And there has been a whole lot of conspiracy theories that have sprouted up over that time. And it seems like Eric Hovde is more or less doubling down on them by refusing to concede in this race. We've gotten some response already from the Baldwin campaign. I'm going to read you a tweet from their campaign spokesperson here as I am pulling it up from Andrew Mamo. He says, Eric Hovde has stooped as low as a politician can go, sowing doubt about our very democracy. Leaders on both sides of the aisle should condemn the lies he's spreading and his pathetic campaign. Tammy Baldwin has won this race, and there is only one thing for Hovde to do, concede.
I mean, if there is a problem, and I haven't yet heard it, and I think Jess, we're gonna try at some point, maybe in the next hour, we'll get to what Hovde had to say if we could chop it up. Apparently, it's about 4 or 5 minutes, and don't want to burden you folks with all of that. But
just me, huh?
Jess does all the hard work, so we don't have to. Thank you, Jess. If there's an issue, right? I mean, he's above the 25 basis point, the 0.25%. So it's not going to be funded by the state if he wants a recount, but he's below the 1%. So he could actually do the recount, but he's going to have to pay for it, or him, and, you know, he'll you know, perhaps go to shimmying and try to get some money out of the local the state party. But I mean, there's a process to go through if he's got any sort of problems, right? He could file a court case if he thinks there's some sort of fraud. Or he could, you know, do the recount, pony up, pull the money, and do the recount. Why all the fraud talk?
Well, I think it's just the same thing that Republicans have been, you know, throwing at Milwaukee for so many years. It's just these allegations of fraud, specifically the ones about, like, the votes that come in from absentee ballots and early voting that are reported all at once at the end of the night. And, you know, the Milwaukee is doing that because that's what state law allows for. That's the Republican controlled state legislature has allowed for. They tried to reform that process in a bipartisan way. It was stalled by Republicans in the state Senate. So many of the people in the political universe in Wisconsin were talking about this in the days before. I had an explainer on Civic Media and part of our election night broadcast. And it's so ridiculous what Hovde is saying. I'll point out a couple things that he mentioned in that extended video. So part of what he said is that he received a lower percentage of the vote from absentee ballots, the ones that were reported as part of that ballot dump, than in the same day vote in Milwaukee. Well, anyone who pays attention to elections in Wisconsin, this is quite obvious. More voters who prefer Democrats tend to vote early or absentee. And so many of those votes that went overwhelmingly towards Tammy Baldwin that were reported late into the night,
that was very much expected. Of course,
we even had statistically
that would happen, Dan. I mean, if I was a Potawatomi, I would take that bet every single time because that's how it rolls.
Yeah, he also parrots another false claim about overall turnout in Biden 2020's Biden's numbers in 2020 versus Harris's in 2024. You know, saying that there were somehow 10 million missing voters. That has been a pretty pervasive conspiracy theory throughout the week. And it really only applies to how certain states count their votes. There's a lot of states in the West Coast that haven't tallied up every last one of those votes. And that's what really that applies to. Alexander Scherr from VoteBeat addressed another one of these baseless accusations, saying that there were more ballots than registered voters. Well, Wisconsin has same day registration, so a lot of those registrations can happen on the day of.
Yeah.
And Hovde said in his video as well, he said that same day registration surged on a rainy day. Now, I know you also live in the city of Milwaukee, Dom. Is this the first time we have dealt with bad weather in the city of Milwaukee election day?
I mean, come on, it's November. It was actually not too bad. I actually wore shorts and flip-flops because it was just sprinkling about quarter after seven.
You wore a nice shirt and real shoes.
Oh, that was when I went to go vote.
But when you went to go vote, yes, but that was election day.
Yeah, election day. I voted on election day in shorts and flip-flops.
Oh, then you changed into.
Of course, okay. I got all fancy for the election, Jess. I put on a collared shirt and took a shower. I mean,
it was amazing.
Big times around here. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. Okay, so Will, as it stands right now, Hovde is not conceding, but we don't know. Did he say he's going to file any sort of lawsuits against this fraud, or that he's going to call for a recount? Did he give any actions?
He did not. So he talked about, you know, I take this the question of whether to ask for a recount seriously, and kind of that's where he ultimately left it at the end of the clip.
And it cost money. I take that seriously too.
Well, and I'm seeing, you know, across the political spectrum, some of the reaction that's coming in the immediate wake of this on Twitter and elsewhere. You know, it is pretty universal in the condemnation of this. The claims that he makes are baseless about Milwaukee. They are, you know, flying in the face of what a lot of Republican numbers people were saying on election night. We're talking about the expectation for the number of votes that might come in, and could, you know, could those sway the election for Harris? Could those sway the election for Baldwin? And, you know, Wisconsin, narrow elections, as we always have. Donald Trump won the state by 0.86%, and Tammy Baldwin won the state also by 0.86%, virtually identical number. And nobody is questioning whether Donald Trump won in the state of Wisconsin. We've all accepted that. We're all moving on.
Every Republican that won in the state of Wisconsin, they're not challenging that either. It's just the Republicans that lost. And if there's fraud, then wouldn't the Republican congressman from Wisconsin also then have been engaged, or at least the victims of that fraud? They're the one, but they won, so they're not talking about it. It's just so ridiculous, Dan.
It is absolutely absurd. And, you know, I wrote a column about this earlier today before Hovde put his ridiculous statement out, and talking about how this is damaging to our political process. You know, I think so many people were going to this election, if Harris were to win, there was going to be all sorts of claims from Trump and elsewhere about a stolen election, just as we saw 4 years ago. Turns out it wasn't Trump this time, but it is Eric Hovde. And Eric Hovde is poisoning the well of democracy here by continuing to challenge these results. You know, it is ridiculous. We've dealt with so much of this turmoil over the past few years, right? With the Gableman mess, the, you know, fake electors, all of these different things in Wisconsin. I think so many of us are just ready to move on. And I think that goes across the political spectrum. I think so many people are tired of these Republicans who question these election results. You know, there's been some loose talk among some on the left questioning the results too. That is also just as ridiculous. You know, it certainly hasn't crept up to anybody in a position of leadership of the Democratic Party questioning any of these results. But I think it is, it's just so toxic. And to invite this additional toxicity into the state's political environment by this extended period of silence and by refusing to concede these results, It is ridiculous, and it is harming our democracy in Wisconsin.
Well, winter's coming, so he'll head back to Southern California real soon, I assume. Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media. The 10 takeaways. Dan, I've been, you know, we've all been reflecting, thinking about what happened, what could have happened, you know, where people getting their information from, who do they trust, do the Dems, you know, relate to the working class anymore, all these kinds of things. You had 10 takeaways, and I loved how you started your piece. I'll paraphrase, oh, crap. So let's get to the top 10. Dan, Wisconsin actually did probably a little bit better than some of the other swing states.
Yeah, obviously a bad night for Democrats across the board. And, you know, it really seemed like a red wave election with all seven of those swing states going for Donald Trump. But Wisconsin, as Wisconsin as ever, what ended up being the most closely divided state on the map, which is a little bit unexpected given the larger the larger context. So this is actually the first time since 1988 that Wisconsin has voted to the left of Michigan and Pennsylvania. Typically, Wisconsin has been kind of a tick to the right of both of those states. Wisconsin actually to the left of both of them now. Kamala Harris won more votes in 2024 in Wisconsin than Joe Biden received in 2020. So I think it is, you know, people, so many people talked about the enthusiasm on the ground, the energy, the excitement that people felt with the Harris campaign in Wisconsin. That was real. It just wasn't enough to beat Trump. And we now have a statistic that we are adding to at the recombobulation area. One of the things that I've said over and over before the election was that four of the last six presidential elections in Wisconsin were decided by a less than 1% margin, the other two being with Barack Obama on the ballot. And now we can say that five of the last seven presidential elections in the state of Wisconsin decided by a less than 1% margin, always as close as ever in the state of Wisconsin.
Way to go, Wisconsin, keeping it tight. We always assume the rural areas, at least I do, the rural areas are going to go towards the Republicans, towards Trump. And that seemed to be the case even more so in this election cycle, right?
Yeah, the rural areas of Wisconsin are continuing to get redder. And the one area that I really keyed on in this takeaway was in southwestern Wisconsin. Now, there are a number of counties in southwestern Wisconsin that have been swing counties in the past. In that kind of cluster in the corner of the state, there are a number of counties that voted for Janet Protasiewicz in the 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But from 2020 to 2024, many of those counties saw about a 6-point shift from Biden to Trump. And that led to a significant number of votes in that part of the state, tipping the scales for the Republican. And so that is a part of the state that I think, you know, Democrats are going to have to really look at to figure out how to stop the bleeding. It started with those Obama Trump voters in 2016, yeah, and it is continuing and accelerating now in 2024.
Well, as mentioned, a bright light on the Senate side, Tammy Baldwin. Well, she claims she won. He's not conceding yet. But there also was some movement for the Dems in the state legislature working under these new maps. Not a takeover, but slow incremental movement. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. He's going to come back for another segment. We'll take your calls as well, 855-752-4842.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
We got our friend Luke's right here. Luke, any reflections you'd like to share with our listening audience?
You remember those Etch-A-Sketches? That's my thought process for a lot of the analysis that's been taking place over the last 7 days. I'm just ready to shake it. There are some interesting takes, but I think 98% of all of the takes that you probably heard, sorry, Todd, that probably means some of your takes over the last 7 days.
Probably.
Absolute garbage.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media. You might know him from the recombobulation area as well. Dan, thanks for sticking around. Your piece, the 10 takeaways from the 2024 election in Wisconsin. We're going down the list. Want to talk about a couple things. We mentioned Tammy Baldwin. Well, we'll see. We're very positive on that, but apparently Eric Hovde, he's still questioning that. I want to talk about regions. So we talk about the WOW counties here in the Milwaukee, counties surrounding Milwaukee, as well as my old stomping grounds, the Fox Valley, Dan. Fox Valley apparently held serve. What'd you find out?
Yeah, it's I'm a UW Oshkosh graduate, so I have some connections to the Fox Valley region as well. And I wrote a long piece in the week before the election about the Fox Valley as one of I think it gets overlooked to a certain extent how swingy that region can be. And as you know, we talked about in the segment before that in Western Wisconsin, also the case in Northern Wisconsin, that the votes there continued to shift, in the Republican direction towards Donald Trump. But similarly in the Fox Valley, that was another part of the state that in 2016, going from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton as the Democratic candidate, there was a huge drop off in the Fox Valley then. And much as we've seen with Trump this year in Western and Northern Wisconsin, but that such was not the case in those Bow counties. So Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago counties, you know, in a red wave election to not see that shift. And there was maybe like 1 point in Brown County, 1 point Winnebago, something like that. But I think it is really important to recognize that the Fox Valley and the Green Bay area really held serve in this election and did not shift the way that many other parts of the state do. And I think going forward, Democrats should recognize opportunity here because, you know, there were a couple state assembly seats that were among the closest on the map, the 88th district in the Green Bay area and the 53rd district in the Neenah Menasha area. You know, the races there were decided by only a couple hundred votes. And going forward, I think those are pickup opportunities for the Democrats. And I think the Fox Valley and Green Bay is a place that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, when looking at its statewide calculus, should really prioritize a bit more than they have in the past.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Not just because I grew up in that area, but I think it is absolutely ripe for some attention. And as mentioned, they did hold serve this cycle. One of the reasons Wisconsin was so close. Some of the other takeaways, mixed results. We talked about briefly about the Democrats in the state Senate, made some ground there. A little different reaction, a little different mixed results for the assembly Dems.
Yeah, so there were four really competitive races in the state Senate, and Democrats swept all of them. Really strong performance there. But among assembly Democrats, very much a mixed bag. So overall, you're going to see the numbers rise significantly with the new maps.
Right.
And so Democrats were able to add 10 seats. The margin there is going to be 54 Republicans to 45 Democrats. But there were really nine key toss-up regions, toss-up districts in the state in, among assembly Democrats. And Republicans won six of those nine, including two seats in Milwaukee County. And so I think, you know, the numbers were on the Democrats' side in at least one of those districts in Milwaukee County. And to lose both of those, I think it has to be a little bit of a point of frustration.
Yeah.
To go along with what happened in the Fox Valley and Green Bay. Those were, you know, four races that were decided by a combined total of less than 3,000 votes.
Wow.
You know, that you change those four elections, we have a much, much closer margin in the state assembly. There was another district in the 51st, just west of Madison in Dane County. It includes Mount Horeb. Republican incumbent Todd Novak won that race as well. That was one that looked like a real pickup opportunity for Democrats. So those five races go a different way. We're looking at a different majority in the Wisconsin State Assembly. So it's some missed opportunities there for Democrats.
Dan, just a couple minutes left. We know, unfortunately, Joe Biden, the president, was very unpopular. That may have sunk some of the Dems. But the messaging, or at least the ads coming out of the Republicans, immigration, border security, and the anti-trans messaging, what was your takeaway on those?
Yeah, so in the limited time that we have here, I'll mention the immigration issue. You know, I really just don't think Democrats have found what they actually stand for on this issue. And it seemed like everything that they were doing was in the shadow of Republicans and almost this kind of Republican light approach to border security, to immigration. And I just don't really understand what Democrats actually stand for at the end of the day. And I think their inability to even articulate a position on this issue allowed them to just get rolled, because if Republicans won on this issue, and it seemed like Democrats, instead of wanting to have a conversation, instead just wanted to change the subject. And I think as Democrats do some soul searching post-election here, finding an actual message on immigration that is not just in the shadow of the Trump GOP should really be a priority going forward.
So the bipartisan immigration Senate bill, nobody was buying that, Dan.
Nobody was buying that. No. And saying we had a bill, but Trump wouldn't let us pass it. Also a position of weakness, I think, too.
Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media. Dan, thank you so much for coming by and hanging out with us. You can find the piece at the recombobulationarea.news. Dan, always a pleasure. Wish it would have gone a different way, but we will stay in touch, my friend. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tom.
Folks, this is the Dom and Salvia Show. Going to come back with your phone calls, 855-752-4842. And I got something to say about all this.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations.